the day of our salvation is nearer today than it has ever been. It's nearer today than it was yesterday. And God is preparing that way for us. He's preparing that path for us that we can walk on. And he's preparing the way for us with the understanding that indeed we will be with him. And indeed we will one day be able to see our Lord and our Savior in person and be able to love him and be able to sing the praises to him that he deserves. Recently, I've had a thought. Why did Jesus have to suffer in such a way that he did? Wasn't it enough that he had to be nailed upon that cross out in the open? Which, if you do any studying on it at all, it is just the epitome of shame, embarrassment, any word that you want to use. So why did they have to scourge him, as Scripture says? Put a crown of thorns on his head, plant them on his head so that it made sure that it pierced and it hurt. Why did they have to whip his back and open up his back and then put a coat on him so that all the blood would dry? And then when he took the coat off, it would open everything up again. Why couldn't he carry the cross? He was too weak. And God provided somebody to do it for him. Wasn't it enough that he was crucified? But this was God's plan, even as we read in Isaiah, that he indeed had to suffer through those things. Because the prophecy that God had made, and the prophecy that he had voiced and given, had to be fulfilled. Even as everything that God does and promises and everything that he has promised us will indeed be fulfilled. And one day, even as he has promised, one day we will be with him. We can't figure it out. We can't understand it. We can't picture it. But we know it's there. We know that that his salvation took our place upon that cross, which is what we commemorate tonight. We are assured of it. It's an understanding that we have that God is true to his word. God's word is indeed true because God is true. He is truth and he is life. And he asks us to obey and to walk that path that will one day be with him. For scripture tonight, I'd like to read from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 23. And we'll begin with the 33rd verse. Yeah, we'll begin with verse 33 and we'll read down through we'll read down through verse 47. It's the Gospel of Luke, 23rd chapter, and beginning with the 33rd verse, and reading the words in Jesus' name. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him with the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of Jews, save yourself. And a superscription was also written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, unto thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. Amen. Father, these are your words. Holy God, may we rejoice in them. May we rejoice in the fact that you love us. Father, again, these are your words, and they are true because you are true. In Jesus' name, amen. Calvary was positioned outside of the city, and it was positioned in such a way that everybody that entered into the city would see what was going on there. They would see anybody hanging there. As I mentioned already, that it was a place of shame. It was a place of where people would walk by and they would see someone there and know that that person was some type of a criminal or whatever the case may be. But Jesus wasn't. Jesus wasn't a criminal. Jesus was not one to be afraid of. But it was man that just hated him in such a fashion that all they could think of was doing away with him. All of the things that Jesus went through the course of his life in the 3+ years that he walked, the 3+ years that he spread his gospel message, the years that he taught mankind of the love and compassion that God has. He healed the sick. And he taught everybody of love because he was love. He didn't have to voice it. He exemplified it. It was because he was an example of love, even as he is today. And yet here they are trying to kill him. And they're putting him to shame, beating on him. And what does he say? He says, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Could I do that? I don't think so. But it's only by God's grace if I were able to. It's only by His grace that I would be able to. It's only by what He would do for me that I would be able to understand that those who would try to do me wrong or would do things against who I am, it's only my God that would be able to give me the strength to say those words. And that's where I have to be tonight. I can't be in a place of judgment. I can't be in a place of anger. But I have to be in that place of love and compassion. Because that's what my Jesus did. The people stood there and they were watching him, and the rulers were there and deriding him. They were just making fun of him and mocking him and saying he saved others, let him save himself. They had no idea what they were saying. They had no idea what they were talking about. Even as those today who would rebuke anybody that is trying to tell them the truth of God's word. They have no idea. There is no idea what they're saying and understanding. They look upon Jesus as a physical being, but they don't look upon him as salvation. And the soldiers mocked him and offered him vinegar. And then they tell him, they're hollering at him, if you be the king of the Jews, save yourself. And then this sign that was placed over him. This is the king of the Jews. In another gospel, the religious people told Pilate, take that down. Or write, he claims to be the king of the Jews. And Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. And it wasn't an accident. It was a proclamation to all who would see him and who would be able to see that cross and to see that sign. Jesus is the King of the Jews. And Jesus is our King today. It started there and progressed into the Gentile nation. All people, every one of us, God had in mind when this took place. He didn't focus just on one. Every one of us were in his thoughts to have that salvation. But he brought it first to his children. He brought it first to the Jewish nation, and he gave it to them. And he wanted them to have it free of charge. And then one of the guys, he was a thief, hung on the cross next to him. The guy is just, he's in the same condition, the same boat, so to speak. Just telling, deriding and mocking and saying the same thing that the rest of them are saying. And Luke is really the only gospel that records the fact that the other guy started to chastise the first one for what he said. And he made a very important statement. He says, don't you fear God, seeing that you are in the same condemnation? You're hanging on the same cross? And he says, we're here justly. We're here because we have done something wrong. We're here because we stole or murdered or whatever it was, whatever the reason for them to be there. He said, we're here because we did something wrong. But this man has done nothing wrong. He's done nothing amiss. Pilate even was able to understand that. Pilate was even able to say that I can't find anything wrong with this fella. Why do you want to kill him? I'll give to you somebody else. No, they didn't want it. Crucify him. Do away with him. That's what they wanted to do to my Savior and to your Savior. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to do away with him. Because they just did not understand what God wanted for them. They just did not be, they just did not understand it, nor could they ever, nor could they figure it out. They were afraid to do it. And that is a prevalent thing with human beings. If we don't understand it, we're going to reject it. And that's what they were doing. They were just so wrapped up in their own beliefs, in their own understandings, and they just couldn't accept the fact that there was a better way. Even as the people today will not accept the fact that there is a better way. There's a way that leads to salvation. There's a way that leads that is so much better. The issues, the problems of this life, they'll still be there. They're not going to go away. But they're not going to become quite as important. They're not going to become quite as prevalent. Because they're just not that important anymore. Because our faith is the most important part. God's going to take care of all of the little, and I say that, little things. Because we may look at them and say, oh my gosh, how are we ever going to get through this? Or how is this ever going to, God's going to take care of it. He's got a way of doing it. I've often said he's been in this business for a long time, and he has. He knows what the future holds. He knows where this path is leading. One of the things that I can take assurance of, and it's written in several different places in Scripture, the one that comes to mind is in Hebrews. I think it's the 13th chapter. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that your Savior, your God, will never leave you nor forsake you? Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of the problems, you may, no, I won't even go there. I may look at it and say, how is this ever going to work out? How is it ever going to be able to come about? God is right there. He hasn't forsaken me. He hasn't left me. And you know what? Somewhere down the road, it works out. But boy, I got to try to convince myself of it. It's not always easy. But God loves me. And he has compassion for me. And he will never leave me nor forsake me. The guy on the cross says, we're indeed justly. We're receiving the reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What comforting words. What comforting words. If your Savior did that to you, said that to you, would you rejoice? I'm sure you would. Because you are given that promise of salvation, that promise of being with him in paradise. And I can't help but think that that fellow that's hanging on that cross started to rejoice because his salvation was assured, the same as ours is assured, because he believed. And Jesus promised him that today you will be with me. I've thought of that over the years of when that statement was made. I just don't even know what I would do. But I do know that my Savior has already told me that. He's told it to me in such a way that when I came to understand of my own sinfulness, and that one Sunday morning at that altar rail, when I began to realize that it was my sin that put him there. Nobody else did. No one else had that. It was me. And he was gracious enough to forgive me. And he was gracious enough to walk with me even through today. And he continues to love and have that compassion for me. And he says, and it was about the sixth hour that there was darkness over the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. I read something one time, a long time ago. Some guy had